Do you remember early last month the former head of Westpac and ex-Treasury man Dr. David Morgan, who's lived overseas for about 15 years? It was quite blunt about one of the big Australian losses in his view, the hollowing out of the Australian Public Service, such an important source of reform, as he said, in the 1980s. And he was speaking with some knowledge, having looked rather closely at the modern public service as part of a major year-long review of the APS, ordered by then Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull last May. At the time, he labelled it timely, saying much of our public service still reflected changes initiated by the 1970s Royal Commission, headed by the venerable Nugget Coombs. Trust in government institutions is seen to have fallen dramatically in recent years, but the question is how to position such a national asset for this new digital age. Well, last month, the interim findings were released with four key recommendations for change, though they were received with mixed reviews as to how it all might translate to the real world. I'm delighted that the man at the helm of the inquiry, CSIRO Chair and former Telstra head David Thodey, could join me earlier this week to talk about where this might head.
Yeah, thank you, Geraldine. A pleasure to be with you.
Before we go into some of the changes, let's go broad at the start, because I noticed that the report said the APS should develop an inspiring purpose and vision that unifies the public service, backed up by a secretary's board with a mandate to push cross-portfolio outcomes. What are you getting at there?
Well, let me just take you back one step. The scope of work that we're asked to do was to look at the future requirements of the public service to be fit for purpose to serve government, parliament and the people of Australia. And that's really important because we're looking at taking a future view. Now, in terms of the challenges of the public service, as all of us are facing, you know, the world's getting more complex. The impact of technology is growing all the time. People are demanding greater services and understandably so, more personalised. And of course, you've got political volatility and geopolitical shifts. So as we looked at that, we realised that the public service itself more and more is required to look at these complex issues and work together to solve these problems. So what we're saying is we need a public service that can be unified in a common purpose while still fulfilling the Westminster tradition of serving their minister. And that's why you need a common purpose and a common way of approaching this with a secretary's board that looks at the Australian public service common items and issues about how they work.
One aspect of your report has drawn significant attention and is clearly related to this, is the proposed move to common pay and conditions across departments. So can you elaborate on exactly what this would involve, and that does that play into what you're describing?
What we're saying is that we've seen greater disparity at the same levels between departments we don't think is helpful. And when you have a public service that needs to reconfigure itself due to a change of government, a change of cabinet minister portfolios, they need to be more agile, and often the pay and conditions are getting in the way of that very quick response that is required to those changes. We are very aware of the practicality of this will not happen quickly, but we do need to move as much as we can over time to enable the public service to be more flexible.
The report also seems to suggest, David Thodey, that there would be greater protection against politically motivated terminations of department secretaries. Now, I also notice in that David Morgan critique, who came out of Treasury, he thought one of the core problems was the hollowing out of the federal public servants and the loss of its independence from politics. So are you agreeing?
Well, there's two points that David's making that we do feel strongly about. One is around the capability of the public service. We need our best and brightest working in the public service, and I'll come back and talk about that. But I want to stress, you know, some of the principles of the Westminster system, you know, really break down to these sort of four or five areas. One is the public service needs to be apolitical. It needs to be able to give frank and fearless advice to ministers. Ministers set policy, public servants, you know, give advice. So we need to make sure that there are systems and processes to make sure that the public service can be apolitical. And we think the greater transparency in secretarial appointments, how decisions are made, etc., is good and in line with the traditions that we've inherited as the Westminster system.
Is there a but there coming?
No, there was no but. No.
Well,
it wasn't intended to be a but.
Well, it's just that, you know, we had, especially when Tony Abbott became Prime Minister, I think there were three sacked, particularly Martin Parkinson as head of Treasury. So why may not that happen, depending on what happens at the next election again?
Well, I want to be clear about what we're recommending. One is we're recommending, you know, transparency in the process. The process ends up with advice to the Prime Minister, and the Prime Minister has the right to decide. So we cannot, we can't tell the Prime Minister what to do, but what we can ensure that there's a fair and equitable process in the decision making and recommending.
And I think there was some suggestion made to you that, in fact, the discussion about the person who would hold that vital role of head of Prime Minister and Cabinet, that that's the sort of thing, if you really want to make it more transparent and fairer, that that should be debated in Parliament.
Well, yes, I think someone did make that recommendation, but we've also been looking at the New Zealand system, the Canadian system, and the British and Singapore as well. There are slightly different versions of this in each of those countries. In New Zealand, for example, the State Services Commissioner is the one who does the evaluation and recommending, as distinct from the head of Prime Minister and Cabinet. So there are slight variants around the world. But what we are saying is that the process needs to be as transparent as possible, respecting confidentiality of individuals, etc. But that's what we're trying to get to make it less politicised. But I don't think you can ever say there is not a political element. That's the nature of the public service and the political process, but we can minimise it.
I think there's also quite a lot of discussion about fostering more productive relationships between the public service and ministerial offices, and the question of ministerial advisers, which has been very vexed indeed. What are you recommending there?
Well, we think that ministerial officers play a critical role in the whole governance of the system. And we want to endorse and strengthen the role of ministerial officers. But you're right, they have not been as subject to, you know, proper induction process, good career path, and also the balance with the ministerial officers of good public servants working up there and not being seen to be politicised is very important. So we do think there's some guidelines that we could, you know, recommend that just might restore that balance and make sure the ministerial officers, you know, achieve what they are intended to do so. I do want to stress, you know, the role of a politician these days, I mean, they are under enormous workload pressure, so the ministerial officers are very important. So we need to make sure we're getting very good people in there, are well-trained, with a good career path, and that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, but career path for ministerial officers, I mean,
Well,
not perceived to exist, you know, they work them inside out and then they go out, often burnt out, to reform themselves in a totally different way.
Well, I think that's exactly the point. We want to have good people in those roles. We want to make sure they're well informed about how the public service works and political process. So we need to support them in that so they don't finish burnt out, and also that they can go on and have great careers either within the public service or in a wider role or even in politics. So we want to endorse the importance but actually put greater, I suppose, structure around how they work.
What's your view, or what did your committee decide about the extent to which freedom of information, that FOI regime, is helping the public service balance openness with providing frank and fearless advice to government?
Well, we've not concluded a recommendation in that area yet, but the issue is on the table. I think it's very important that the public service is free and able to provide frank and fearless advice. And we've got to make sure that while we want and need transparency, but in the deliberative process, like all of us, you explore many different options. And FOI can be used for the wrong reason, i.e. to try to prove a point on a particular document when people were, you know, exercising their thinking process. They hadn't concluded, but they're putting options up. So we're trying to work through what's the right thing, because we strongly believe in transparency, and we think FI has achieved a lot. But if it's working against the fundamentals of good discussion, good exercising the different options, looking at the consequences, then it's not achieving its purpose.
Look, just a couple of other things. The interim report suggests the review's priorities for change provide an opportunity for the APS to work, quote, profoundly differently with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. How so?
Well, we're really just starting to delve into that one right now. Look, again, it's about, if we continue to have the position that we need, I mean, I'm not saying this department will go away, that it's just a separate department working on this major issue around Torres Strait Islanders and the Indigenous community. We need it integrated into everything. We need every department working to find a way to celebrate and recognise the wonderful heritage that we have here in Australia and the role that our Indigenous and Torres Strait Islander people play. So it goes back to the first point you raised. How do we look at this very complex issue, but as a whole of government, a whole of public service view? Look, I applaud, you know, the Close the Gap initiative. I know it's difficult and we're not getting there, but we've got to measure what we're doing, and we need everybody working on that. So that's where we're trying to get to.
Look, just listening to you, are you really asking for people to consider this as a calling or as a very important job? I mean, that's riddled throughout, that almost sense of there's a higher purpose in all of this, and we might be not stating it. I wonder how you see it.
For me personally, and I think for the committee, we think there is a higher purpose in working in the public service. You are there to serve, you know, government, parliament and the people of Australia. You don't do it for the money, Geraldine. You do it because you are passionate about wanting to make a difference, and that's what gets me out of bed in the morning, and I think for many of us it is. Now, we should recognise our people who work in these roles appropriately, but yes, there is a purpose, a higher purpose, and it's difficult and it's challenging and it's, you know, frustrating at times, but we need our best and brightest to that because they are setting the future of our nation. So very important.
And you're going to be hit with an election shortly. Yes. Implementation will be key, I presume. Yes, how do you propose to follow through with whoever comes to power?
Yeah. Well, look, I've got to say the engagement from all sides of politics has been very positive, and irrespective of the outcome of the election, I think we have a good working relationship with all the parties, and it's an independent review. We will be frank and fearless in our advice, and we will continue engagement no matter what the outcome is. So I hope that they, as the public service should, stand outside of the political process, so should our report.
David Thurdy, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
My pleasure, Geraldine.